reading to you from the 8th chapter of Romans and with the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Well, 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been preaching ever since. You know, I used to think before I was a Christian that the Christian life must be tremendously boring. Well, I got news for you. There's not one thing about Christianity that's boring. Now, if you're going to be one of these people who you give your heart to Christ and then you sit back and wait till you get to go home, you're not going to enjoy the abundant life. Now, not everybody's called to preach, but everybody's called to be witnesses and soul winners. Every one of us. No excuses. People say, well, you know, Cecil, I don't have much of an education, or I don't know much about the Bible. That's the devil's excuse. All you have to do is get into God's Word. Listen, if you have a testimony and a John 3:16, you got enough to lead a soul to Christ. Be with you for half an hour, and I kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Label this, Peter, the man who broadened his witnesses. Now there was a certain man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people, and prayed to God continually. After the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just came in to him and said to him, Cornelius, and fixing his gaze upon him and being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a certain tanner named Simeon, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who was speaking to him had departed, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were in constant attendance upon him. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up onto the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and was desiring to eat, but while he was making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he said, Behold, the sky opened up, and a certain object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And they were in all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And a voice called to him, Arise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, No means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. And again a voice began the second time, What God hath cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And this happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now Peter, while was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, hold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked direction for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asked whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. Let's stop right there, friends. Now, we got enough information to keep on keeping on what we're going to talk about tonight. You see, Peter, he was to meet Cornelius, the soldier who wanted salvation. Now, Cornelius was a centurion, heading a select troop of Italian soldiers, and Cornelius, my dear friends, had some very, very good qualities. He was devout, that's good. He was God-fearing, that's better. He was a praying man, and he was generous to the poor. he gave charitable gifts. Oh, friends, listen. You'd say, well, for heaven's sake, Cecil, that guy was a Christian. No, he was not. He was not Christian. Cornelius was sincere and seeking, but he was lost. The seeking Savior saves seeking sinners. Now, Cornelius is told to send men to Joppa to find Peter. The right man for the right job. Now, there's a problem. Peter doesn't think Gentiles can be saved. See, Peter's witness, and ours also, needs to be broadened. Now, God gets Peter ready to broaden his witness in verse 9, it says, and the next day, as they were on the way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray, and he got hungry. And while he was up there, he fell into a trance, and lo and behold, he learned a lesson. Peter was already a successful witness in various parts of the world. And on Pentecost, remember, he preached and had 3,000 converts in chapter 2 of the book of Acts. At the temple, he had prayed and brought healing to a lame man. And after his second sermon, 5,000 were saved. Listen, friends, I'm going to tell you something. Peter messed up so many times. Oh, my stars, he messed up. But on the day of Pentecost, and when God wanted a preacher that he knew could preach the gospel, he called on Peter, and Peter laid it on him. He told him that they had to be born again if they were going to go to heaven. But see, he did not believe that the Gentiles had a chance of being saved. Well, he was wrong. Now, Peter was given a vision to broaden his witness to include the Gentiles. He must see that the gospel is for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, that gospel is international, universal, international. And you know, it doesn't make any difference, dear friends, if you're white, if you're black, or if you're short, or you're tall, or you're skinny, or you're... It doesn't make any difference. Anyone in this world is included in John 3:16, if you will let it be. But you have to make a choice. Well, what limits our witnessing horizons? Who are you excluding from grace? See, God gives Peter reasons to broaden his witness, you know. The Holy Spirit gave Peter guidance concerning those who were sent from Cornelius. These were prospects for broadening his witness. Behold, three men seek thee. Successful witness begins in faith. Go with them, doubting nothing. Friends, I want to ask, has God ever directed you to do something and you didn't want to do it, or you didn't think you could do it? Many, many, many years ago, I was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was on my knees praying, asking for direction for that day. And the Lord led me to a house that I had at one time. I had put the roof on that house, and I'd put siding on it, and now I'm asked to go back there. I had no idea why the Lord directed me to go to that house, but I got in my car, and I drove over to their house. I went up and rang the doorbell, then run out, jumped in my car, and took off. That's right. And I went down the street, and I thought, now, God led me to go back to this person's house. So I turned my car around, and I went back to that house. Rang the doorbell, and here come this lady. Well, Mr. Moe, what do I owe this pleasure of this visit? I said, God sent me here this morning, and her face turned white as a sheet. And she said, won't you come in and sit down? So we sat down, and we were sitting there, and pretty soon I noticed there was two bandages on her wrist, both of her wrists. I said, did you have an accident or something? She said, no. I tried to commit suicide. I said, what? You tried to commit suicide? Yes, she said, you know, my husband, he belongs to this religion, and I belong to that religion, and we don't like each other religion, so we don't go to church. I said, I said, what in the world? I said, if anyone's got security, you do. Her husband was an executive for a big, huge corporation. They were very wealthy people. And here she was taking life. See, money don't bring happiness. So I started telling her about Jesus. And that day, I introduced that lady to Christ. I went back the next day and introduced her husband to Christ. And a week later, I introduced her mother to Christ. God led me to go to that place. If God leads you to go someplace, beloved, you ask him for the strength and the courage to go. Now you say, but Cecil, I don't know what to say. Now what did he tell us? He would give us the words that we need in the hour that we need them. So don't worry about that. You be obedient, like Peter was, and he headed with those men down to Cornelius' house. Successful witness begins in faith. Go with them, doubting nothing, he said. Peter learned about the work of God in the life of Cornelius, but he found out about the character of Cornelius. What was he? He gave to the poor, and he loved the Lord. And you would think, man, that guy's got to be a Christian, but he wasn't. He hadn't been born again. Well, he was told of God's warning to Cornelius that he needed more than good works. This guy, Cornelius, had a lot of good works, but he didn't have salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nicodemus had the same problem. He had all kinds of good works, but he too was lost. And when Jesus got a hold of him, he told him right to his face, Nicodemus, he must be born again. And I try that on almost every tape I make, that we need to be born again. Oh, friends, if you're not, you can't go to heaven. Well, did you know what had happened? Cornelius had a crowd waiting to hear what Peter had to say. In verse 24, it said, and on the following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he'd called together his relatives and close friends. He knew that God had a message for him, so he got a bunch of people together. Friends, Cornelius was very receptive to Peter and his message. And Peter explains God's work in his heart that prepared him to be a witness. See, Cornelius explains God's work in his life that prepared him to hear the gospel. See, when God moves us to witness, he prepares our hearers to receive the message. So you're not going out cold turkey. If the Lord sends you over to someone's house to witness to him, he's worked on that other end as well as your end. And then what you need to do is then you need to just open your mouth and let the Lord do the rest. God grants Peter's results from his broadening witness. Listen, Peter presents the gospel to Cornelius. He didn't say, well, now what you have to do, Cornelius, you have to join a Presbyterian church. And you had, no, he didn't do that. He did not do that. He preached unto them Jesus. Friends, that's the only message that will change a sinner's heart is Jesus. That's why some of our churches have become cold and indifferent, and our music has been terrible, because the basic message is that Christ came in the world to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the message. Listen, if you're lost tonight, he's looking for you. He certainly is. You know, I used to tell people I was looking for the Lord, but I wasn't. I was looking for the Lord in the bottom of a whiskey bottle. You see, I was in the wrong place. I didn't know that there was a God in heaven that loved alcoholics. I didn't know there was a God in heaven that loved homosexuals. I didn't know there's a God in heaven that loved drug addicts and whoremongers, but there is. Oh, there certainly is. You remember when they'd brought that lady that was taken in adultery to Jesus, and I'm sure they were the ones involved with it. And Jesus just knelt down and wrote in the sand. He looked up and he said, where are your accusers? She says, they're gone, Lord. He said, go and sin no more. He forgave that lady. You remember the lady at the well? She was an immoral lady. He forgave her and let her go back into the city and tell the people that she'd found the Christ. Well, he tells of the death and resurrection of Christ. Peter quotes the prophets and their promises of salvation by faith. Now listen, Cornelius and his friends were converted. Joy and fellowship follow effective witnesses. You know, I told you a long time ago about an alcoholic that I used to drink with before I was saved. After I was saved, I started to witness to him. I'd go over to his house and talk to his wife and his kids, and he just was hard-hearted. Well, one morning, the Lord impressed me, terribly impressed me, to go and take Bill to church with me that morning. I went over there, and he got him out of bed, and he said, "No, I'm not going to church." I said, "Yes, you are, Bill, or I'm going to break every bone in your body." Now, that was a terrible thing to say, but I had to take him to church. I was compelled. I was directed by the Holy Spirit to break Bill to church. Bill said, "Cecil, only pair of pants I got's got a hole in it about the size of a 4-bit piece." I said, "You get those pants on. We're going to church." He did, and we went to church. Well, when we got in the church building, I walked real close behind him so people couldn't see that hole in his pants. Now, get this. We went in for the preaching service, and my wife and him and I and my kids were in a nursery. Well, when I come to, just before the invitation, I got a coffin tacked. So I used to smoke, and I had to go out and get a drink of water. While I was out there getting a drink of water, they started singing "Just As I Am," the invitation. And they all were standing there, and Bill was standing there singing with his songbook upside down. Pretty soon, my dear friends, he slammed that book down, and he marched right down that aisle, took the preacher by the hand with that hole shining in the back of his trousers. You see, friends, God directed me to take Bill to church. And Bill that night brought his wife back to church, and she too accepted Christ. Oh, friends, a whole new world of witnessing opened to Peter. And God wants to broaden the scope of yours and my witnessing. Listen, you know it says in Psalms 126:6, there's joy for every believer in increased outreach. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Beloved, let me ask you, are you witnessing for Jesus now? You say, "Well, Cecil, it's so difficult, and people get mad." I'm asking you, have you ever witnessed for Jesus? Have you ever sat down and tried to tell a person how you met Jesus? You know, friends, I just believe that your personal testimony is one of the most important things you can use when trying to introduce a soul to Christ. Tell them how you were. Tell them how you felt. I always tell people, look at, in 1955 in Portland, Oregon, I was drinking wine with the winos in Skid Row in Portland. "Well, what happened?" "Wow, the door's open." I said, "Well," I said, "I finally, my wife threw me out. Told me she was leaving me, her and her kids. And I kidnapped my oldest boy, went to an old wino's house. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I called a preacher out of bed, a stranger, never heard of him before. Got him out of the Yellow Pages. And I told the preacher I was going to commit suicide, but I was afraid to die. And he said, "Son, you don't have to commit suicide. Won't you come over to my house? And if you're not sober enough to come to my house, I'll come pick you up." And over there at his house, I sat and I cried till there wasn't one tear left. There wasn't no tears. And he kept saying, "But Cecil, you know what? God loves you." I said, "Preacher, if God loved me like you said he did, why would he take my sister, my mom, and my dad by death and give me the meanest stepmother that ever lived that used to beat me and lock me in a basement? Why?" And I said, "Now my wife and kids leaving me, and I'm a no-good alcoholic." He said, "God loves you." Well, friends, that morning, without any theology, didn't know much about anything. All I knew, I was a terrible sinner, and I knew I was headed for a devil's hell. I knew that. That morning, I got down on my knees, and I cried out, and I said, "Oh, God, be merciful to me, Cecil Moe, a sinner." And Jesus came into my heart, and he immediately delivered me from the curse of alcohol. And I went outside, and it was such a beautiful morning. Sun was coming up. Birds were singing in the tree. And I went home to see if I could make things straight with my wife, and she made it very plain that she was tired of my lies, and she should be. But I told her I was a new person. I was a new person in Jesus. She gave me one more chance, and dear friends, that's been 51 years ago. To God be the glory. And then she was saved, and then my family, my children were saved. Now listen, friends, I believe that the most important thing that we can do on this earth is tell others about Christ. Are you doing that today? You say, well, listen, if you don't know how, at your church, I'm sure you can get gospel tracts. Get good gospel tracts and hand them out. Go to a restaurant and hand them to a lady in the who waits on you, or a man. Or witness to your paper boy. Oh, there's so many things, so many people. I witnessed right down in my bank. I'll guarantee you, they know me on a first-name basis. They know I'm a preacher. They know I go to jail. And they're always laughing. Well, was you going to be in jail this Sunday? I said, yeah, yeah. And they laugh. But they know I'm there for a purpose, to introduce souls to Christ. Friends, this basically is a message for Christians. But there's a possibility that you're a lost church member. Yes, there is a good possibility that you're a lost church member. And you don't know how to get to heaven. Well, Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I'll no wise cast out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Aren't you tired of your wasted life? Aren't you tired of getting in trouble all the time, and you can't pay your bills, and you're in a bar? I'm talking to alcoholics now. So was I. But I met the King. I met Jesus, and he changed all that. I want to introduce you to Christ tonight if you don't know him. And here's how the prayer goes, and please don't pray it unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you do me a favor? Would you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534? That's 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I'm not concerned about your money. I'm concerned not even where you go to church. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. If you gave your heart to Christ, get in the Word. Get you a good Bible. Find you a good Christ-honoring church and ask him to show you what he wants for your life. I'm waiting for your call.
Trade my broken life for one that's new. Go ask the child who's got a dad to love away the hurt he had before. This man called Jesus touched their lives. Go ask the one whose fears have fled, whose churning heart was quieted when someone whispered peace to all her strife. Go ask the man to tell you more, whose life was just a raging war.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I pray we said something might encourage your heart. God's got a work for you, friend, and that you don't have to be a preacher. And I just wish that you'd get out there and find out what this abundant life's about. I found it a long time ago. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.